is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, dear friends, we're going to continue our series today. And what a glorious series it is. No Zion without a king. And no king but King Jesus. The Apostle Paul says that when you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, when you're chosen by him, then you have already moved up to Zion. I love that old gospel tune about marching onward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Friends, let me tell you, when Jesus was here on earth in the flesh as God, John chapter 1, he said very clearly that the kingdom of God was in our midst. Many people are looking for a kingdom of God right here on earth in terms of physical, material things. They say that nation of Israel out there will be a manifestation of the kingdom of God. In other words, it will actually be the kingdom of God on earth. Oh, how foolish they are, my friends. Do you not know that you are the living stones? If you know Jesus Christ, you're the living stones. And we together as Christians make up the temple of the living God. He is the cornerstone. And we are the temple built on the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. Isn't that an amazing thing? To think that you're not a human being, my friends. You're living stones. Maybe it was very significant when John the Baptist, you know, the Pharisees came forward to be baptized just for a show. He made their hair curl up, I suppose. I'm just guessing, but I'll bet he did. When he said, you know, you basically, what are you here for? He said, who has warned you to escape from damnation and the hell to come? You know, what are you doing here? You see, people who attempt to say that they're of God for false reasons are pretenders, liars, show-offs, and God will not accept false worship. Who's warned you to escape from the wrath to come? He was mocking them, John the Baptist was. They believed, of course, that the kingdom was at hand in terms of Israel being the greatest power on earth. They were only a small nation. They were under subjection to the Romans. But they believed God would give them a supernatural man again, like Samson, like David, like Solomon. And they would be the preeminent race upon this planet. There would be the great nation of Israel, and everyone else would be like a bunch of peons. And they wanted their great King David to come forth again and reign and rule over the whole planet. And after all, the Old Testament prophets said someday that Israel, yes, Israel, would be the capital of the whole earth, and everyone on earth would gravitate to those who were citizens of Israel. Now that would give you a heady feeling, wouldn't it? If all you thought about were the materialistic trappings, the carnal trappings of the world. I'm sure the same kind of thoughts must have danced in their heads as danced in the head of Napoleon and his underlings. Charlemagne, the Caesars, the czars of Russia, and so many, even many of our presidents, maybe have fondly thought about the United States becoming a great world empire. And they would sit in the White House at the helm, the world ruler. This is the way men's minds work. James said that's why we have wars. The lust of the flesh. The desire to be an important person. Prideful. Ego. Fame. Yes, fortune, but power especially. That's what many men strive and seek for. And that's what people wish to build. They are kingdom builders on earth. They want to see glass and plastic and metal and wood spring up in great edifices of worship. That's what the men who built the Tower of Babel had in mind. They said, let us build a tower rising up to heaven so that we shall have a name that will never be dissolved. They wanted a name for themselves. Many people build monuments. Many people donate millions of dollars to universities and even to cities. And they ask is, in return, I want my name on a building. I want a legacy. They have the ambition of, you see, a legacy. They want a building with their name on it, a bridge with their name on it, anything with their name on it. They have no idea that someday every building on earth will crumble and fall. And every civilization that has ever been founded eventually decayed and fell to pieces. They believe somehow they will be remembered throughout history because of their money or their exploits. And this is what the Jews thought. We shall have a king and we shall have preeminence over the earth, and he will build for us a great kingdom. And we'll be the top dogs in that kingdom. And you know what? For the last 2,000 years, the Jews have thought the same way. But they are wrong. And over time, there have been a number of nations. Genghis Khan, the Mongol hordes, the Red Chinese, Mao Zedong, the emperors before Mao of China, the Japanese emperor and his military lieutenant, Tojo. All of these people sought to bring forth a kingdom on planet Earth. But the Jews say God is going to ensure it. And there was God in their midst, and they rejected him all the time, saying, someday the Messiah will come and we shall have our kingdom. And I wonder how many times people told Jesus, I can imagine Jesus walking around the city of Jerusalem and saying, when do you think the kingdom will come? And they say, well, someday we shall have a kingdom. Someday. Someday, Rabbi. They called him Rabbi because they didn't believe in him as God, as Christ. It was an insult just to call Jesus a rabbi. He was not a rabbi. They called him Master. He said, don't call any man Master except the Father in heaven. After all, he said, only God deserves the term Master. But he was one with God. You see, they were calling him Master, but why should they? They did not believe that he was God. Don't call me Master, he said. There is only one Master. But he deserved to be Master. He is Master. He is Lord. And he said, call no man Father. Call no man Rabbi. Men are not worthy of these titles. Friends, don't ever write a letter to me saying, Dear Reverend Mars. There's only one revered person, only one reverend that we should give reverence to, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who is God and shall always be God. He is the King. But he told the Jews that they were deceived. They did not understand. The kingdom does not come by observation. Did you understand that? If you were taken to a great city, and the people of that city said, see our gleaming skyscrapers, see our wonderful government structures, see our monuments, are we not the greatest kingdom on earth? Friends, always remember the Bible says no. No. You cannot observe with your human eyes the kingdom of God. And that is why all of the churches today and the pastors that gravitate toward Judaism, They are Judaizers and Zionists, and they say, we shall build the Zionist kingdom on earth. We will be able to see it with our own eyes there in the Middle East. It shall rise from the desert. All the splendor of the days of Solomon and David will be back again. Jesus says you cannot observe the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God, he said, is within you. My, what a vision. What a departure from man's fabricated reality. We fabricate buildings and think we accomplish so much. We have architects and give them awards for their prize-winning designs. But God is an architect greater than the so-called great architect of the Masons, believe me, who is a feeble God. I'm talking about the real architect of everything, because he's the mathematical designer of the whole universe. And listen to me, friends. He has prepared a kingdom for those who believe and trust in him. And man cannot possibly build anything even close to it. The kingdom of God is so remarkable because he builds it in your heart. You see, you are a new creature, a new person, and you are a living stone. You might even become a pillar in that temple of God. It's possible. But listen to me, friends. You cannot see it with your naked eye. You cannot see it through your human vision, no matter if you have 20/20 or whatever your vision is. It does not come with observation. You've got to have your spiritual eyes cast on God's kingdom. And in any case, you have to look within yourself and ask yourself this question: do I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior? If you know that the answer to that is yes, then you have the kingdom of God within you. Would you then go and fly over to Tel Aviv or to Jerusalem and say, we must build a kingdom here? Do you think you can build a better kingdom than God has built in your heart? He has built an eternal kingdom inside of you. And you have the audacity to think that you can go build something better. You can get a prize-winning architect, designer, and all of the electricians and the carpenters, and you can go about building a temple greater than God has already built in his church. Every man, woman, and child who know Jesus Christ are the living stones, and of that great structure, no man could possibly have planned it. No architect who has ever lived could design it. I remember reading in the biographies of Adolf Hitler how he envisioned a great new city, a capital city of Berlin. All the buildings would change. There would be massive buildings and monuments. As soon as we win World War II and conquer Europe, we shall build a great new capital in Berlin. And he brought together his architect, Albert Speer. And he and Speer spent many hours together. They would go up into the eagle's nest high up in the mountains near Berchtesgaden in Bavaria in Germany. And with that sweeping view, they could see for 100 miles of snow-capped peaks. What inspiration they must have had, and they would plan out what the new city would look like. When Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin took over Russia, they too designed incredible monuments. We shall have a civilization second to none. But friends, listen to me. They are dead and gone, and they are in hell. And the places they're living in, believe me, are not anywhere near like the monuments they had envisioned. You must understand there is a Zion, there is a kingdom of God, But there can be no Zion without a king, and there can be no king but King Jesus. And that Zion is not going to be on earth until the day when the new Jerusalem, Zion, the heavenly city, shall descend from heaven. Its dimensions, its grandeur are described in the Bible. And yet in such a way that if you were to take them and say, here are the specifications in the description of the heavenly New Jerusalem, this city, to an architect, they would tell you, I don't understand how this is to be built. I've never seen anything like this on earth. I don't think I would be able to build such a city. And you know, they're right. They cannot build such a city. Only God can build the New Jerusalem. And the Bible says, He shall reside in a temple built without hands. Oh my goodness. How can you build a temple without hands? Now friends, he doesn't mean we're going to use machinery or robots. There will be no hands used. Not in the planning, not in the design, not in the computer CAD/CAM architecture, engineering, nothing. No human assistance at all is needed for God's temple. Before the foundation of the world, I believe he had already designed his temple. And he said, I will live in this temple and no man needs to build it, for I already have all of the raw materials and all of the finished goods necessary. And he has built it in the heart of every man who believes in him and who are Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. And if ye know Christ, Galatians 3:29 says, then you, my friends, are Abraham's seed, heirs to the promise, one of the living stones. The kingdom of God is within you. None of the people in the world will be able to see or understand what I'm even talking about. They will think that I am out of my mind when I tell them that the kingdom of God and the temple of God are not what they think. And you know, this is the way it is for 90% of the people in the church today. They say, oh, it's going to be so wonderful when the kingdom of God comes to earth. My. I remember reading in the Bible a passage that made me cry when Jesus heard of Lazarus, his good friend, passing away. He came toward the home of Lazarus, and he was met by Mary and Martha. And they said, Lord, your friend Lazarus is dead. And Jesus says, he is not dead. He is only asleep. And Martha said to him, oh yes, I understand what you mean. He is dead, but I know that he will be risen at the resurrection. The Bible records that Jesus began to weep at that moment. Why? Why would Jesus cry? Why? It could not be that he was crying for his friend Lazarus. Had he not just that moment said he is not dead, he was not crying. Many people have preached this. They say, oh, he was crying. Jesus was crying because his friend was dead. No, not at all. He was not dead. And he, God in the flesh, told this woman, his good friend again. Both Mary and Martha were his good friends. And he said to her, Lazarus is not dead. Oh, sure, she said. I know what you mean. He's not dead in a way, but he is dead. But he'll rise again on resurrection day. Well, listen, you see, I believe strongly there is a reason why Jesus cried those tears. It's because of the unbelief. Unbelief. If God were walking this earth today and you had a loved one died and you came up to God and said, oh Lord, so-and-so Jack or Bill or Jason or Kimberly, whom you love so much, is dead. And God said, no, he's not dead. He's only asleep. And you said to God, oh, he is dead. You're wrong. Of course, I know he'll, on resurrection, you know, at the resurrection time, he'll rise up, but he's dead right now. You know what you've just done? You've just told God, you don't know what you're talking about. And then you're professing that you believe in the resurrection. Well, that's nice. But I think God read her heart. Maybe she didn't even really believe in the resurrection. Maybe that was just something she was mouthing. Okay, I'll make Jesus feel good. Here he's telling me that his friend is not dead. He must really be distraught. I've just told him Lazarus has already passed away. And by the way, she was actually, I didn't give you the whole story, she was criticizing Jesus because what she really said was, why didn't you come sooner? If you could have only come sooner, maybe you could have done something. But now it's too late, he's dead. Can you imagine telling God that? Oh, if you could have only come sooner, God, but now he's dead, it's too late. And at that, Jesus cried. Oh, he had been with Mary and Martha and all of his disciples so long, and yet they did not believe what he said was true. That he is the only one in the universe that holds the keys to life and death. He opens the door and no man may shut it. And he can shut the door and no man can open it. As a matter of fact, Jesus, from a human standpoint, didn't look good at all. You see, for several days he had been warned, your friend Lazarus is near death. You better hurry by his bedside. And it just didn't appear that Jesus was in a big hurry. Well, that's callous. That's cold, isn't it? Seemingly, from a human standpoint, how would people think of you if they said your great friend or your father or your loved one is on his or her deathbed? Please, get on an airplane or get a bus or walk that way. Do something to get to them as soon as you can. And you just went, ho-hum, I'm not in a big hurry, you acted like. Just, you know, they'd think, boy, you're cold. But see, Jesus had a plan. Jesus already knew what was going on. And he also knew that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. It had already been foreordained. Why be in a hurry? As a matter of fact, he waited until Lazarus, apparently to the world, was dead. Just so he could perform a miracle and it could be recorded for all of eternity. He waited. A lot of people don't know why he waited for the Passover to go to the Last Supper there. Why he waited to go into Jerusalem. Everything. And then when he was going to go into Jerusalem, remember Thomas said, don't go there, Lord. They want to kill you there. They're ready to kill you. They're going to plot and kill you there. We better not go into Jerusalem. But Jesus knew, of course, that's why he did want to go. It was his time to go and be killed. Isn't that an amazing thing? There is a time for everything. Friends, today is the time when you should worship Jesus Christ as King of Zion. Today is that time. You may not have a chance tomorrow. Now, you can write to us. We'd love to hear from you. May send us your tithes if you would like to affiliate and join us. If you'd like to become part of this church, just let us know. We'd be glad to do so. Put you on our membership rolls, at-large rolls. We don't really require tithes and offerings. We allow the Holy Ghost to do whatever he wants. Well, how can we stop the Holy Ghost from doing whatever he wants? And if he encourages you to give, well, wonderful. We shall use your offerings for the glory of God. If you do not give, well, that's between you and God. And I'll tell you this much, friends, we're going to pray for you if you have a need, even if you don't give us any money or any offerings. That's right. All you have to do is let us know of your prayer need. Now, we're going to have a song that's going to go all the way to the end of the program, The Crimson River by the Cathedrals. I don't think we're going to get it all in, but it's going to just ride out all the way to the end of the program. It's been great being with you. I hope you'll tune in each week and hear a message from the Word of God. I'm Tex Mars, the Bible Home Church. Now we're going to play that wonderful tune by the Cathedrals, The Crimson River.
Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.